Lake Effect Weekend continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. When we talk about classical music, we usually talk about symphonic groups. Bands are for militaries and other kinds of marching, like for football game halftimes. But symphonic bands can be just as musically sophisticated as orchestras. Dr. Eric Janners is the director of music at Marquette University, but he's also the conductor of the Night Wind Ensemble, the premier wind band in southeastern Wisconsin. The Night Winds have an all-Russian concert on Sunday afternoon at the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center. Janners stopped by ahead of that performance to chat with Lake Effect's Bonnie North and gave a quick background on the organization.
The Night Wind Ensemble is a freestanding community wind ensemble. It's been in existence for over 60 years now and actually has its start way back in the mists associated with an elk lodge and grew through the Catholic Knights. It was the Catholic Knights band for a number of years and eventually became its own freestanding organization called the Night Wind Ensemble. Its mission is to perform great high-quality wind band music and sort of be a premier wind band for the community in Milwaukee.
Well, let's talk about what a wind band is. What are the instruments?
Well, a wind band is everything but strings. They've been around forever because they started in the military.
So marching bands were
marching
sort of
bands,
first.
Yeah. And signal corps, you know, back in the revolutionary times, you had drum and bugle corps in the actual army to signal to the troops because, of course, they didn't have telephones. And so they would entertain the troops at night, and gradually they began to write music just for those instruments that were in the signal corps. And so the band tradition sort of grows out of the military in that way. In the 20s, it became a lot more of a tradition in the early 20th century to try to create sort of sit-down concert music for this group of wind instruments. Gradually, that repertoire grew in size and grew in complexity and in the level of the musicianship to where we have wonderful wind band music today that challenges great players to the top of their ability.
I often think, you know, wind band, I think of John Philip Sousa.
Of course.
Of
yes.
course. One of the greats, one of the American greats. But there's a lot of other repertoire out there. Who are some of the people that have written for wind band and are writing today for wind band?
Well, Sousa really started everything. He was one of those quintessential American bandsmen. And back in the late 19th century, he actually led the United States Marine Band for about a dozen years, composed several hundred marches and a bunch of other incidental music for band. So he was at the beginning of the movement. Then there was the 1920s that I mentioned earlier. And in the 20s, there were a number of English composers like Gustav Holst, Ralph Vaughan Williams, Gordon Jacob, people like that, that began to write for what they called the military band. And they wrote this early sort of group of pieces from the 20s that are still performed today. Holst's First Suite in E-flat and English Folk Song Suite by Vaughan Williams that became sort of standards of the band repertoire. Then in the 1950s, there was the creation of this even more high-level wind group that we call a wind ensemble, which was essentially an effort to create a wind group that was the artistic equal of an orchestra. And this happened at the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York in the 50s. As a result of the development of that sort of elite type of ensemble, a number of very prominent composers were commissioned to write for wind ensemble. People like Paul Hindemith, Vincent Persichetti, Lenny Bernstein, Walter Piston, all of those sorts of people. And up into the present time, you know, more composers today are writing for band than they are for orchestra. And a large part of the reason for that in the 21st century is that educationally, the wind bands still exist in high schools quite a bit. And there's this big, huge market for new music every year that orchestras don't really have that same market. So
why is that, do you think? Why do winds persist in schools where strings don't?
I think it's the marching band connection. You know, they can still connect it to football on a Friday night and parents can see their son or daughter out there marching around and sort of relate to it. Even if they're not musical, they understand the teamwork and the precision of the marching band, and the concert side of it is just sort of an outgrowth of that.
From what you're saying, it sounds like the level of musicianship required is equal to anything that you'd find in an orchestra in order to play at that elite level, that there's no difference.
Oh, indeed. And in fact, I would definitely make the assertion that the upper level wind band music is harder for the wind players than playing a Mozart symphony. You know, when Mozart was using the clarinet or the trumpet, he used them as color instruments and fairly sparingly to augment the string orchestra. So while Mozart might be gorgeous music and wonderful music and a lot of fun to play, technically speaking, usually anyway, there's not a whole lot of challenge for wind players in it. It's, you know, maybe 20, 30 notes throughout the whole piece that they're playing. They are the entire everything in the wind band. So they have to create all the melodies, all the harmonies. And wind composers have really been pushing the limits of what's technically possible with all the instruments, clarinets, trumpets, saxophone, you name it, both in terms of range and in terms of what's possible with finger dexterity. It can be as challenging as you want it to be.
So for the Night Wind Ensemble, what kinds of music are you looking to play? And what's the level of the musicianship since it's a community band?
Well, the mission of the Night Wind Ensemble is to be the premier wind ensemble for the community in Milwaukee. So there are lots of wind bands, community bands in the area, and many of them are very, very fine organizations. But when I was hired by Night Wind, my understanding of what they wanted was to be sort of the elite level of what's available in the community. So Night Wind seeks to attract those upper level players. And I think we're pretty well stacked top to bottom in most every section. So we're not looking necessarily to play the Sousa marches and the easier stuff, although we can do that and we sometimes do as an encore or if we're doing a pops concert. But our bread and butter is to play the elite level, upper level wind music that a lot of groups can't necessarily do because they don't have the players in every section.
Are your musicians paid?
No, we don't pay.
So this is all volunteer?
All volunteer, yep.
Who is in the ensemble?
I would say the largest segment of our population is probably the music education community, high school teachers and band directors, middle school teachers. The MSO musicians don't play with us. You know, they're busy enough. They have enough on their plate just to do what they do with Milwaukee Symphony. But there are a ton of wonderful musicians, and I think you'd find this really in any major city, whether it's Chicago or Minneapolis or wherever you go, there's going to be dozens, if not hundreds, of people walking around with a bachelor's degree in music or even a master's degree in music that aren't working in the music field anymore. But they, at one time, were really, really great players, and they want to get back to a high level of playing, and they're looking for that outlet. Many of those types of players don't want to play in sort of your run-of-the-mill community band. They're looking for a greater challenge than that. And that's the sort of niche market that we look to target.
How often do you rehearse? How often do you perform? How does that work since everybody's volunteer and I'm sure working around day jobs?
Yes. Yeah, we rehearse Wednesday evenings. We rehearse at the Wedgewood Park Elementary School right in Milwaukee. And very generously are able to use that facility free of charge, which we appreciate greatly because one of our members works for the school. So we have members that drive from North Chicago. We have members that drive from Madison. Most of them, the vast majority, are Milwaukee Metro, coming from the north side, south side, all over the place. But Wednesday nights for 2 hours. So just once a week rehearsal. We give 3 concerts per year of what we consider sort of our legit concerts or our heavy repertoire concerts. We also do a number of sort of lighter concerts or pops engagements. We do out at Wisconsin Memorial Park. We have the past several years done a Christmas show, which has been very popular. And we've done a Memorial Day concert for years. Used to do it at the zoo, actually, and recently switched that to Wisconsin Memorial Park as well, which is a much nicer venue for a Memorial Day concert,
yes.
I think. So, yeah, that's That's
how many,
our
how
schedule.
Many people? How many players do you have on any given concert? What's your average?
Usually about 55 to 60 players.
That's a good size. Mm-hmm. That's a very good size. So you get a big sound if you need it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can produce a lot of sound when called for. Fortissimo is not a problem.
So, that actually should be an album title.
That's a good album
Fortissimo
title.
Fortissimo is not a problem.
That's right.
What do you play?
When I started my career, I was a percussionist. I have 2 degrees in percussion performance and a doctorate in conducting. The percussion has taken a distant backseat for about the last decade, with the conducting taking up more and more of my time, unfortunately. But conducting is definitely – nothing is quite like it. So I enjoy what I do quite a bit.
What is the next concert? This is coming up in a couple of days, right?
Yeah. It's April 6th out at South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center at 3 p.m. And the concert is called From Russia with Love. We sort of borrowed the James Bond movie title for the theme of the concert. It's all Russian music. A couple of pieces of particular note on the concert. One is an arrangement of a Shostakovich symphony that I did, where I arranged from the orchestral original, reorchestrated it for the wind band. And that's a great piece. It'll be a lot of fun to perform. And the other is a full version for wind band of Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition, which will be sort of the featured piece on the second half of the program. So it's an all-Russian concert full of, you know, wonderful Russian melodies and the sort of gorgeous Eastern European kinds of melodies, and just a lot of fun.
Well, Eric Janners, it has been such a pleasure to meet you and to hear about the Night Wind Ensemble. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Eric Janners is music director and conductor of the Night Wind Ensemble. His day job is director of music at Marquette University. The Night Winds perform a Sunday afternoon all-Russian concert at the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center. That's Lake Effect Weekend for this week. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll join us weekday mornings at 10 for Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and stay tuned. All Things Considered is next.